Genesis chapter 49. We have been studying for a good while Jacob. We haven't concluded our study, but I'm skipping chapter 49. My Bible is getting like Brother George's. These pages don't want to stay apart. Genesis chapter 49, verse 1. Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall be in the last days." In this chapter, we find Jacob blessing his offspring. Just look at it. Fixed it. The supplanter, the trickster, always scheming for his good and the ill of somebody else, and suddenly we find that he's going to bless. But that's what God does. That's how God works. He takes a man like Jacob and he transforms him. And you know that's what he does for us? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You've heard the story of the man that regularly beat his wife and the children. He's a terrible fellow. And one of the neighbors noticed that he was different and said to his wife, "What happened to your husband? Did he change religions?" And the wife answered, "No, his religion changed him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation." And Mr. Jacob here is a new creation. Jacob called his sons, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." The last days. Some versions read the latter days. Days to come. End of days. Closing days. All these are different translations of that expression, the last days. Beloved, do you believe that we are in the last days? I see the head shaking. One head shake no, all the others shake yes. And the only reason she shake no is she's young in the faith. But as she grows, she'll see that we're in the last days. Hebrews chapter 1. Are we in these last days that Jacob is going to tell us about? Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And this epistle was written before the year 180. Way back there. Those were last days. If they were last days then, they are sure last days now. And you find that further brought out in 2 Timothy chapter 2. What shall be in the last days, the latter days? Verse 2. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, hearken unto Israel your father. It's interesting in verse 1 it says, Jacob called his sons. He calls them in verse 2, sons of Jacob, but he calls himself Israel. Because as Israel now, the prince among God's people, he's going to tell them about the future. Reuben! He's the only one we'll consider today. Reuben! You are my firstborn. My might. The beginning of my strength. Now notice, the excellency of dignity, excellency of power, and then in verse 4 it says, thou shalt not excel. Excellency of power, excellency of dignity, firstborn, but you're not going to excel. something happened to Rita. I wonder what happened to her. And this is a warning for us. Thou art my firstborn, my might, beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Verse 4. Unstable as water. The exact Hebrew reads, unstable as boiling water. Now, how stable is boiling water? Any water that is not confined and controlled is unstable. You remember the story of, it was in Holland, where they have these dikes because the rivers are higher than the land around, and they build these dikes. So as the water swells and rises, the dikes will protect the people from the water flowing over. And you remember the story of the little boy? He looked at the dike, went up there, and he saw a little hole. And water was trickling through that hole. He put his finger there and stopped the disaster. You remember that, sir. Water that is not confined is going to cause trouble. And perhaps the greatest example of this is seen in what is called the Hoover Dam. If you ever get a chance, go over there. There was the Colorado River flowing and flowing, going wherever it wanted. Flood over here, not enough water there. And it shows indeed the wisdom that God has given man. How they took that Colorado River and diverted it, built the dam. That dam is a masterpiece. If water is needed over there, they direct it over there. If it's needed elsewhere, they direct. The water is now under control. It's not boiling, it's not seething. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, unstable as water. Unstable as water. Unless water is confined, it's unstable and it's troublesome. In what way was Reuben unstable? We read on. Verse 4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Why? Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, and he went up to my couch. He failed to exercise self-control. He was like water just spreading where it wanted to. He lacked self-control. Galatians chapter 5, please. Self-control. Galatians chapter 5, read verse 19, please. I know we have noticed this before, but for those of you that are younger, when you read the scriptures, read every word that's there. Don't add a word, don't add a syllable, don't add a letter, don't take it. Read exactly what's there. Now, verse 19. The works, plural, of the flesh are. And then it lists. But then come down to verse 22. And this is the verse that's often misquoted. The fruits of the Spirit. And I've seen in homes pictures of various fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible doesn't talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Notice the language there. Notice the grammar. The fruit of the Spirit is, not are. One fruit. Nine factors, and when one is missing, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. I emphasize this because I think you need to understand it. When you read the scriptures, read exactly what's there. The fruit of the Spirit is. Now, what You know, it's like an orange. You know, an orange has its separate parts. Well, that's like the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 variations, 9 different parts. And these together constitute the fruit of the Spirit. Is love, which our brother spoke of this morning. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, or better, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. That is what Reuben was lacking. And that accounts for much that we see in the world today. You wonder, why are the children going to school and shooting each other? Lack of self-control. And why lack of self-control? They lack the Holy Spirit within. So that the fruit of the Spirit is not manifest. Lack of self-control. That's one of the problems. I have to be very careful how I speak when I touch on politics. I'm not a politician. But that's one of the problems in this land. Lack of self-control in the leadership. And that's why these children are doing what they're doing. Of course, that's combined also with Darwin's theory of evolution. We came from lower forms. 2 or 3 things occur to me. I don't know if I have time to talk about it. Speaking the other day, no, not the other day. See, it was over 20 years ago. Had a young trainee. He came from the Midwest and, well, he was proud of himself. And we got to talking and say, he said to me, you know, we're still evolving. Well, at that time we were studying the human hand. I said, well, how are we evolving? He said, well, take the thumb. See the distance between the thumb and the other fingers? Well, the index finger is separating from the middle finger, and one day it'll come around like the thumb. And when that happens to all 5 fingers, you'll be all thumbs. That's not evolution. It's devolution. Another example, and I say this because of the young children that are among us. Beloved, train your children to realize that God is. I think of another example, speaking to a dental student. And he told me, we are evolving. You know, you have 3 molar teeth. He said, you notice in most cases, the child doesn't have a molar tooth, or if the child has one, it's defective and has to be removed. I said, that's evolution? He said, sure. And then in another million years, the second molar will fall out. And then another million, the third molar. And if you live long enough, or if there are enough years, several million years, you'll have no teeth. That's not evolution. Don't be deceived, beloved, and please tell your children not to be deceived by these false teachings. And I mention this because the last time I was in New York, I talked to a niece of mine. She's a freshman at City College. And I know what they teach there. I can see Professor Melander standing up there and lecturing from that tree of development and where he put the apes and where he put us. Well, that's another thing we're going to come to. Do you know that? You must know. There are people today who are training chimpanzees, because they're the brightest of the apes, to talk and to play music, trying to show the association between those lower forms and man. You'll get to that one day. There's a whole lot of difference between man and the animals. I remember in Sunday school, much that I'm telling you now, I hadn't planned to say. It just comes to mind. I was in about 6th grade, and some of these others, they were in high school. And I remember Superintendent Mr. McLaughlin asked, how many kingdoms are there? And these bright high school, 3 kingdoms, mineral, plant, and animal. He said, oh no, you're wrong. Mineral, plant, animal, and human. How many of you knew that? Human beings are, and we'll show it in the Bible when the time comes. But the reason that you have many of the troubles that we are facing today is that you have people without control, starting in many instances from the top and going down to the bottom. That's why the children are in school shooting and killing each other. That's why you have rapists all over the place. Lack of self-control. And the only true self-control that one can have and one can get is by salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ with the indwelling spirit. I remember when I first read, must have been about 13 or 14, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit is in me. Why, that thing I almost jumped. The Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, is in me. Now, read with me, please. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Now, do you want to have self-control? Control over the flesh that is within. Quench not the Spirit. The Spirit occupies the person of every believer. When the Spirit urges you to do something, don't quench it. Now, one way to know the will of the Spirit and the will of God is to know the Word of God. For example, when Elijah slew those prophets of Baal, who told him to do it? You remember, the Lord said to him, now you go here and the ravens will feed you. Go here and a widow will feed you. And he didn't, who told him to slay the prophets? Was he right or wrong? The brother says he was right. Well, if he was right, how did he know he should do it? You get it back in Exodus. False prophets were to be slain. Elijah knew the Word of God. And knowing the Word of God in the power of the Spirit, he acted on the Word of God. Now, chapter. Well, in Ephesians we read, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And so, brethren, when we meet, you know, and the Holy Spirit tells you to say a word, give thanks, and you just sit there, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Now, we go on in our study. Back to Genesis. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiled it, he went up to my couch. Lack of self-control. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Verse 1. Reuben was the firstborn. He was the excellency of Jacob's progeny. But he didn't excel. We're going to read something I think is great news. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel. That which he could have obtained, that which was meant for him, was given to somebody else. Do you know that can happen to us? Look at the Revelation, please. I'm sure our brother Fleister, in the course of his presentations, He's going to come to this. He'll give you more detail than I'm giving. Look at the Revelation, chapter 3. It is possible that what God has reserved for us as believers, we will lose, and it will be given to somebody else because of our fleshly activity. Look at the Revelation, chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Or it might better be translated, that no man receive thy crown. And where we fail to live under the power of the Spirit, acting after the flesh, like unstable water, this verse says, as happened with Reuben, you're going to lose what God had in store for you, and you're going to give it to somebody else. Read it again, beloved. I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man receive your crown. What Reuben was to have went to another member of the family because of Reuben's false ways. We need to be careful of how we behave, lest that which God has in store for us goes to another believer. Now, believe it or not, I'm finished. That's a little unusual. I'm much longer. Isn't a quarter after yet, and I'm through. But I would remind us of this one thing. And again, as we go through these various blessings of Jacob to his sons, we have here, as we read, the history of mankind from the time of the beginning right down to the end. It's wonderful how the Bible is written. How could you put the history of the world in 33 verses? Anybody? The Lord did. And as we follow through these various blessings pronounced upon Jacob's son, we're going to see the history of the whole world before us. The first lesson we are to learn from Reuben is self-control. That's, as I said, the trouble with the world at large. Failure to control oneself. As a matter of fact, and I go back to this matter of evolution, that's one of the reasons why these youngsters are what they are. We just evolved. And I've been reading recently, they're having a hard time showing how we evolved. What did we evolve from? And whatever that was, where did the life come from? Remind me of something else. Professor Null, we studied the biophysics under him. Oh, he, great fellow. Physicist, had a good knowledge of biology. Biophysics. And I can see Professor Null now. He would take an object, it was mercury. He says, I can make it eat, I can make it walk, I can make it speak, I can't make it live. And he was so upset because he couldn't make that thing live. The origin of life. And that's what's perplexing the evolutionists today. They can't find a proper explanation for how life began. And we know exactly what we do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you, I'm sure, know the story of the young man who went to college, was presented with the theory of evolution, returned home, told his mommy and dad, I don't believe the Bible anymore. Things didn't happen the way the Bible said. Father got very upset, told his brother, the boy's uncle, he never said, you send him to me. And he came over, greeted his uncle, and so forth. Uncle said, I understand that you don't believe the Bible. Or at least you don't believe that things went the way the Bible said. He said, do you believe Genesis 1 and 1? He said, yes, I believe that. Well, then all the rest has to be true. If God can create out of nothing, the heavens and the earth, the rest is easy. Isn't that true? And so this young man was made to see things in a different way. That the word of God explains all that we need to know, both from a natural point of view and from a spiritual point of view. The thing that we need to learn from the life of Reuben is self-control. Not going out after everything that we want. And they have a saying, If it feels good, do it. You get in a lot of trouble that way. A whole lot of trouble. If you like it, do it. You get in trouble that way too. Man must be bound by certain rules and certain standards. And I think it was up to Friday. I was reading about this man out here in California with the glass church. Oh my. God, he ought to be glad that God is merciful. The things that he says, there is no such thing as sin. And when he does define sin, it's an absence of self-appreciation. Anything in you that you appreciate so much? We have to be careful of these vile and rude teachers. As I said, I'm just about finished. Reuben lost out because of failure to control the flesh. There are temptations around, there's no question about that. The Lord told us that there will be, but we must learn to live under the divine standard. We go by this. I was speaking to a young fellow recently, and he had such strange things to say. I said, well, where do you get your ideas? What is your authority? He said, well, I just think them up myself. I said, your authority? You are your authority? You? Did you ever make a mistake? Yes, well, how do you know you might be wrong, might not be wrong with all these other things that you think? You know, this is the standard. If they don't go by this, they're wrong. In fact, let me read that for you. I think it's Isaiah chapter 8. Yes. Verse 20. I would suggest that you mark it in your Bible. And whenever you hear these people pontificating, that's what they're doing. Nice long words sound as if they know what they're talking about. They have no knowledge of what they're talking about. 8 and 20. To the law. And to the testimony. That's the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I like to translate it. If they speak not according to this word, it's because they're absolutely wrong. Well, that's right. If you go contrary to the word, you're wrong. And anytime you hear anything below, in which they're telling you something contrary to the word of God, they're wrong. Now, you may not be able to argue with them. That's neither here nor there. The fact that they are going contrary to the word of God, they're wrong. And if we live contrary to the word of God, we will be like Reuben. That which God had put aside for us, we're going to lose. I'm finished. Shall we pray? Again, Heavenly Father, we give thee much thanks for thy love to us, much thanks for salvation. We thank thee for the privilege of meeting even this morning to remember our precious Lord, the only one whose blood could wash away sin. We thank thee too for the time spent together listening to thy word from the book of Exodus. And in these last few minutes, we've looked together and seen what we may lose when we are not subject to thy word and to thy command. Bless each one here, we pray. We thank thee for those visiting with us. Take us home in peace and safety. Bless us, we pray, until we meet again. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.